will behave.
There we go. All right. So I'm going to talk about measuring radiation use efficiency of cotton grown in the arid Southwest. And before I get started, I want to thank Don Jones and Cotton Incorporated for funding the majority of this work along with USDA. So some of you may or may not know, I had a new addition to my lab in this last year. I inherited a postdoc when someone from our unit retired. His name is Dr. Matthew Harrett, and he's a physiologist trained out of Missouri. He was actually brought on to work with University of Arizona and USDA on the TerraRef field scan analyzer system to validate the chlorophyll fluorescence camera. And because he was working with that system, he started working in grain sorghum, and then he was also looking at radiation use efficiency. So when he came over to my team, I said, well, we can finish your grain sorghum, but I get paid for cotton. You're going to work on cotton. So we've been translating what he's done in sorghum into cotton. So he's been looking at the radiation use efficiency. We define that as the biomass produced given the total solar radiation intercepted by the crop canopy, and that comes from this paper here. This paper also tells you at what point energy can be lost through that solar harness, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But doing some literature reviews, we found that cotton is actually very low in RUE. Even for a C3 plant. It's a little hard to do apples-to-apples comparisons between these papers because everybody measured it slightly differently, but you can see that cotton's pretty low compared to some of the other crops that are on that list. So we have a lot of room for improvement in this particular area. And just to say, in soybean and corn, they had been working on radiation use efficiency improvement, and they saw anywhere from 15 to 28% yield increases within a breeding cycle. So I think it's something that's worth our time to look at. So I had never actually measured RUE before, so I did one of the first trials in the grain sorghum with my postdoc just to better understand what's involved, and it was awful. I hated it. It's very time-consuming. You can see him there pointing at his clock, especially in Arizona when it's really hot out. It's not a lot of fun to go out and be harvesting biomass and having pollen rain down on you. It's pretty awful. So one of the things that I wanted to see if we could do for cotton, as I think many of you know, we've been doing a lot of high-throughput phenotyping development, platforms, different sensors, things like that. I said, you know what, we have a lot of platforms, a lot of sensors. Is there any way that we can take what we've already got and use it to measure radiation use efficiency in a high-throughput manner? And so we used some of the fill plots in the Regional Breeders Testing Network trial. That's the Delta Pine 1549 plot. So we actually did do the destructive biomass sampling in that, but we also ran our two different carts through this trial. And we did biweekly sampling, 1 meter for the destructive sampling, and then just the whole plot with the carts. So we measured the height, leaf area, and then whole plant wet and dry weights for the biomass. So the first platform that we used, I think some of you know, we have a Marvel comic book theme going for all the names of our platforms in Maricopa. The students have a blast with it. So the first cart is Wolverine. It's a four-row capture. It has a crop circle active reflectance sensor on it to capture NDVI, and then we have ultrasonic transducers to get canopy height. I fed that data into two very simple models to try and estimate biomass from them. And they weren't bad, but they didn't work as well as we need to for breeding trials when we have different varieties. So what the graph is showing you, the manual measurements, do we have a... All right, so the blue bars show what we actually measured, the destructive biomass sampling that we brought in. Wade did all that. And then the orange and gray bar are the two different models that we used where we plugged in NDVI and height. So they're not way out there. They're within reasonable ranges for biomass, but If you think about the range that you see just from this one cultivar, you can imagine how bad it might be for a variety trial where you have several different germplasm out there. So it's just not quite good enough. So for now, we still have to stick with destructive sampling, which in a breeding trial, you really don't want to do. The second part of what we did, so you have to measure the incident solar radiation. We're fortunate enough to have the Arizona Meteorological Station about 150 meters from my field trial. So we use that to get the incident solar radiation. But then to get the light interception through the canopy, we have this other little platform, a robot that we've named Cyclops because it only does one row at a time. And hopefully the video will play. That gives you an idea of kind of what it sees as it moves through the field. But on this mast, we have several different PAR sensors so that we can get the light intercepted throughout the canopy. We compared this to a standard light bar measurement. And what you see in the graph there is the light bar is in blue. That's the standard. And then this little cyclops is in orange. You'll notice the cyclops is a lot less. And in fact, it's 38% less across the board for all the plots that we measured. So it's an area difference. So you can mathematically correct that and get them to match up perfectly. So we were pretty happy with that. We are going to do some further testing with the cyclops and make sure that it's just area that is causing that lower light interception values that we see. But overall, I say we're halfway there. The light interception works. We're going to retest in 2020 and make sure it's just an area difference. We've got to rethink about how we're going to go after biomass in a high-throughput fashion because we don't want to be doing destructive plant sampling. But if you compare the Cyclops light interception to the handheld light bar light interception with the destructive biomass, they correlate pretty well. So we're halfway there. So the other thing that we've been looking at, though, is breaking down the components of RUE. Where is energy being lost? Because as I said, cotton's not very good at this. So why? We looked at several different things, light interception falling within that first one, photochemical inefficiency, and then carbohydrate biosynthesis. We did a lot of dusk to dawn sampling, a lot of late nights, a lot of early mornings. But it was worth it. We've got some pretty good data out of this, I think. So to look at this, I used three lines from the RBTN trial. One of them was Lori's that she submitted. One of them's Fred's. He always sends us great stuff. One of them was the Australia line. And then the same fill plots. We had quite a few of them this last year, so we used those as well. And so the reason these were picked was based off of leaf size. And then what looked to be differences in growth habit. Now, I am going to admit that I am not the greatest at calling that, bless you. So I say it's a pyramid growth habit. Fred said that it's possible it could be. He didn't say it wasn't. So, and then that Delta Pine variety does definitely look like a stovepipe, at least in Arizona. They say in Texas it doesn't look like that, though. Anyway, but we did biweekly measurements starting at flowering with the little cyclops. We did upper leaf area, manually collecting those. Chlorophyll fluorescence, we did two different methods for that. Gas exchange and sugar sampling. I'm not going to talk about the gas exchange and sugar sampling because we haven't finished processing that data yet. But what we found, and this, I guess, isn't really earth-shattering, but the leaf area was the primary contributor to the light interception. The bigger the leaf, the more light that you intercepted. The growth type or growth habit certainly seemed to reduce intercepted light, particularly in that stovepipe, but that's clearly not the whole story of what's going on there. So we need to do some more work where we have very definitive growth habits set out, run the machine through that and get a better idea of how that's affecting light interception. But if we correlate these against the plot weight, we didn't have time to gin this yet, so it's total plot weight from the mechanical picker. We see that the leaf area is highly correlated with yield, whereas the intercepted light, not so much. So that growth habit is certainly having an effect there. We just can't tease it out right now. So the other thing that we looked at was the photochemical efficiency, and I'm focusing specifically on FO, which is minimum fluorescence, and that tells us how well the sun's energy is used by the plant, so how well it doles that energy out. So we did the standard handheld dark-adapted method using this little floor pin, and then we recently got a new sensor called a LIFT that does daylight-adapted measurements. What we see here is that the LIFT has promise. I'm gonna go with that. It didn't get the trends correct for the varieties, but it is showing significant differences within the varieties. So we think if we tweak the protocol, we'll have a high throughput way to measure that. We also think we need to do this at night and get the dark adapted. So the data I'm gonna show you next is from the handheld floor pin, dark adapted. Measurements that we did for chlorophyll fluorescence. So what we see here is cotton is very inefficient at using energy from the sun. Those FOs are not good. But one way that we could potentially improve that is increasing the leaf chlorophyll content. So we want those nice, dark, rich green leaves. To give you an idea of how inefficient cotton is, I have here in the blue bars that are on either side the best and the worst sorghum lines. So you can see where cotton fits in there. So we've got some work that we could do there. And then again, if you just do a simple correlation against the plot weight, you can see that the R-square value is quite high at 0.86. So the higher that FO, the better yield potential that we have there. And so you'll notice that the line from Lori did the best with both leaf size and FO, so good job, Lori. Just had to throw that out there. And then Fred, you're right behind her, so good job. I gotta give you your kudos, right? You guys send me all kinds of stuff, so anyway, but to conclude, radiation use efficiency is an area where we can improve cotton yield. And there's actually two ways that we could start to do that now without any type of equipment. Look for larger leaves. To give you a perspective, this big, that's use your hand. And then look for the darker green leaves, because that will improve the light energy harvest for our cotton. And we want to make sure that they stay nice and dark green throughout the season. I want to continue working on ways to estimate the biomass for this rough high-throughput phenotyping RUE method. I think it will be really helpful in the future, and as we get more and more germplasm at Arizona to test how well they do in our heat. High heat and drought environment. I want to keep improving on that. And then I definitely want to try and identify cotton lines with improved initial fluorescence with the dark adapted method. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and stop. And if we have any time for questions,